when we listen to definitions, sometimes we misconstrue the definition or we misuse. For example, we hear that nafl is an act that is optional, and optional means you get sawab for doing and no guna for leaving. Then we become a little bit relaxed in matters that are nafl, optional, sunnat, ghayr muakkada, mustahab, we become relaxed. Then we hear about small gunas and we become relaxed about small gunas. Not a big thing now, not a major sin, a small sin. And small sins get normally washed. With wuzu, with coming to the masjid, with smiling at someone, making salam. So these small sins get washed out. So when you hear this definition, then we take advantage over the situation, say, no, it's a small sin, I'm going to go to the masjid, all get wiped out. Or I'll make wuzu, then all get washed out. We don't realize sometimes, in fact most of the times, that small sin is a catalyst to committing a big sin. It starts and it leads you to a sin that is great. But what was the thing that led you? It was that small, that sin that you considered insignificant, that sin that you considered small. So like you abstain from a major sin, a big sin, then equally important is the fact that we should abstain from major sins, small sins. Just as the major sin has the ability, has the potential of destruction, then the small sin also has the ability to destroy. Someone asked Imam Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, is this a sin that is small or big? Perhaps he was under islah of Mawlana. So Mawlana was annoyed at this question. Mawlana asked him, the meaning of your question is that if it is a major sin, I will leave it out, and if it's a minor sin, then I will do it. That's what you are trying to get at. Mawlana explained that like the major sin has got the potential to destroy you, and the minor sin also got the same potential. Like you take the precaution against major sins, and you should take the precaution against minor sins as well. After all, a person doesn't take the end of a cigarette butt, lit cigarette butt, he doesn't leave it inside his wardrobe. He knows that though it may be small, but the destruction that it can cause is major. Small little fire. It's an end of a lit cigarette butt. How will you just leave it in your wardrobe? You won't leave it. You won't consider it something insignificant, something small. Small damage it can cause. What's wrong? What's a big deal? You know what it can cause, what it can end up to. So these minor sins and small sins, they are the gateway to major sins. They spur you up further and further and further. They break that defense of yours. They break up and crack up your defenses, your protection, your immunity. You had that immunity against wrong, but now you took advantage one time, second time, third time, then you became immune. That immunity is broken down. So Allah has created that immunity within every person. Many a time I tell my friends, you got small daughters. And you will see that they have got some reluctance in meeting men. 4 years of age, 5 years of age. And they're reluctant to meet men. So this reluctance in them is good. Don't break that reluctance. They don't want to go and meet men freely. So it's good for them that they don't meet. We don't realize that we are in a culture presently that is promoting shamelessness. They've got different pretexts to break shame, modesty, morality. They present their case in a different way. What they say is, no, there is a thing like equality, both of them are equal. A girl mustn't feel that she's backwards, she mustn't feel inferior of herself. Number three, they bring up the argument that if she's going to keep away, then she won't be able to speak to men freely, she won't be able to demand her rights, she won't be able to communicate freely to men when she needs to talk to them. So you have to break this thing here. Now in the process of breaking it, then they will ask them to sit with each other, play and talk with each other, and do everything with each other. Now when they are reaching the age 7, 8, 9, 10, then you see that feminine of theirs is becoming more and more prominent, is becoming more and more distinct. Clear, it's becoming 9 years, 8 years of age, 7, 10 years of age, and it's becoming prominent in them, it's becoming clear in them, clearer. You will be shocked if I tell you, one person comes here, I spoke to him in the same way, that we see this type of girls, they're small, 7, 6, and you must keep away. So he asked me, Mona, for a moment he got a shock, he went cold, and then he says, Mona, I'm guilty of this. He admitted that I'm guilty of this. Asked him, what do you mean by you being guilty of this? He says, no, sometimes it is my wife's niece, and they see me, and when they were very small, 1 year, 2 years of age, then I used to be fond of children, but when they grew up, and they're being dolled by their mothers with good clothes, and as they grew up in age, then the beauty in them became more and more apparent, I took a great liking, and then sometimes they jump on me, they play on me, and when they are playing with me, then sometimes I have an erection at that time. I'm not right at the time. And they rub themselves against me and I'm taking the lust, I'm taking enjoyment. But it carries on and they're very, very fond. I'm afraid if I shun away from them, then there will be a problem in the house. My sister or my sister-in-law will say, well, why are you keeping away from them? Do you now don't have the same type of affection and love towards us? But they don't realize, no, I can't go and expose myself. If I go and expose myself, then it will be a problem. If I conceal this, it's a problem. What do I do? Where do I go? But he says, there's no two ways about it. When they hold me, or they rub their bodies on me while playing, then I feel different. Now what do I do? See, now, men do not realize, women do not realize the feeling of men. And there may be one, two people that don't have these feelings and inclination. But one, two people not having that inclination doesn't mean that men don't have that inclination. They have the inclination. They have the feelings. Those feelings are active in them. And then you get one category of men that will just have the feeling. They will rub themselves, however. But you'll have the second category that will do even worse things. This is bad, this is very bad. Even taking that lust, rubbing your body against them, that's bad. But then there is the category of people that will do things that are even more worse. See? And all under play, you know, we are playing now, we're playing doctor, we're playing. And the doctor, you're giving an injection now. And in the meanwhile, what you are doing? Doing something else, you're not doing doctor, and whatever. You're giving an injection, so you're undressing her. You're undressing her, you're doing something else. You're passing your hand over places that you're not supposed to be placing. And she doesn't feel that you're doing anything wrong. But discreetly, you are taking advantage over the situation. So one thing leads to the other. This is why I say this small gunas, small sins, they are dangerous, real, real dangerous. This is the second level. The third level is the same girls, then they grow up. When they grow up, then they sometimes, in fact, most of the time, they are turned away from men. They don't want to get married. So, you know, people will do this to us. Now, they kept this information away because they felt we'll break the family relationship if we're going to expose this. Tell anybody, speak to anybody about it, then we'll break the family relationship. So in order to keep the peace, they don't talk about it. And when they don't talk about it, now they live with that memory. When they live with that memory, they don't want to get married. Now I'm talking of cases that I dealt with personally. I came across personally. I'm talking of hearsay or imagination. I came across them personally. They don't want to get married after that. But who started this off? You started it off. And then they're going to expose you afterwards sometimes to their husbands or to the doctor that they're confiding. This, when I was a child, this is what happened to me, and this is what happened to me, and this is what happened to me. So we need to understand the subtle feelings of men, what goes through their minds, the precautions we need to exercise. And then as these girls are growing, don't dress them up, don't doll them up in a way that men feel attracted to them and they take advantage over them. Let them be in the simple attire, simple dressing. Plain, let them play only with girls. So nobody takes advantage, nobody crosses the line. Everybody is playing together, boy, girls and all. And then to keep them, maintain the lines is very difficult, very, very difficult. There were cases where people came and told me personal conviction. We became so friendly with my uncle's daughter that we should sleep in one bed. Right till the age of 9, 10, 11, and auntie would like it also that we both sleep in one bed. Now imagine an adult, 20 years, 21 years old, with the girl 10 years, 11 years of age, and they feel, no, we should be playing together and showing them that affection, and you're sleeping with them at that age, at 10, 11. Isn't that dangerous? Really dangerous. These are people's personal confessions. I don't know how many others go on without being noticed also. People don't use their brains, they don't use their senses. These feelings are growing up. Now, see on Molana now, and you got your 9-year-old, 8-year, 7-year, 6-year-old daughter, go and meet. Whatever Mulana. Don't let them meet at that time. For several reasons. For two basic reasons. One reason is that when they are wearing the type of clothing, some women, some girls are bigger in build, so those features become even more prominent, number one. Number two is, this is a zamana of suspicion and doubt. See, when we hear so much of child abuse, so it's a time of suspicion and doubt. Even if that person, that Mulana, whoever, his mind was totally free and clear, he didn't have any inclinations. But people that are observing this, they feel, no, he's doing something. They're meeting her, he's talking to them, and he's talking to them for long moments. So there must be something going on. So unnecessarily you become a victim of suspicion. But you started it off. You encouraged it. You didn't discourage it. You didn't speak against it. Now, when you didn't speak against it, then this thing, you become the victim. So we need to realize, we need to understand these are the subtle things. These are small thieves within your system. And these thieves, they will surface all the time. They will surface all the time. In this age and time, this guna of lust, it's very, very, very common, out of control. And parents also are not careful about it, who they meet, where they go to, what type of people they are talking to, children, who they're associating with. You may be taking care of your children. What about the next person? In schools, you hear, because all these things are common. Teachers are speaking about it. There's so much of talk about it, then condoms are freely available. All these type of relationship are done openly, very, very openly. In schools, in open, you hear a young boy. Young boy means 7, 8, 9. He can undress with a girl that is of equal age. And they don't know what they're doing, but they've seen some things like this. When they've seen it, now they want to imitate what they have seen. 6 years, 7 years. I hear stories of 6, 7 years of age children. They don't know what it is, but they have seen pictures of this. When they've seen pictures of it, now they want to imitate. But now who's responsible? Parents are responsible. Parents. That's why I feel today that parents are very, very guilty of the fact that they don't assume full responsibility of their children. It's your child. You father the child, you mother the child, you assume responsibility. Where he's going to, who is associating, what he's doing in the free time, how are they coming from school, how are they going to school, they're going to madrasa, and they're on the return, what's happening? That must be an obsession. You leave it, and then the child becomes a victim, then what? What happens? Small, little oversight, and then this is the result. In every respect, the mother must take full responsibility. You know, one case that came to me. This may not be directly related to lust and all that, but I want to show you what it means to assume responsibility. A couple, both doctors, wife and husband, both doctors, and they applied to go to Australia, both Hindus. Professional people, both applied to go to settle in Australia permanently. So when you're applying for citizenship, then you have to go for a lot of tests and this paper, fill in this paper and that paper and this test and that test, whatever. Eventually they give you your citizenship. Anyway, everything was 99%, everything was through. In fact, they were almost receiving the passports. So they were called, both the husband and the wife, they were called to Pretoria, the Australian embassy. Here at the embassy, they gave them their passports, and they seen there's a whole circle of people that came there. There's a psychiatrist and a counselor to counsel them. So they're counseling them, and in the process of counseling them, they made it clear to those parents that got those passports, already Australian citizenship, that your child that is about 2 years of age or 1 year of age, that child of yours is AIDS, is active. Now, they went cold. Parents went absolutely cold. They're looking at each other, say, but no, I didn't betray you. And the wife says the same, but I didn't betray you, but how come this child? They made a survey, they made a little bit of a research, investigation. They found out that both used to go to work, wife and husband, and they would give an amount to the nanny, to the maid, that you must feed the child. So they gave her 20 rands or 10 rands, whatever, buy the milk and feed the child. So this nanny or maid, what she used to do is, she used to pocket the 10 rand or 20 rands, and she would breastfeed the child. And she was active. And she was active, so this happened to the child. So this is what I say, these mothers and these fathers, they act stupidly, they don't assume responsibility. An innocent child, because of your greed and your obsession for wealth, husband must work, wife must work, she becomes the innocent victim. So if the parents only can assume responsibility, full responsibility for the children, how much more pleasant this community, this society would be. But then you have that obsession, I must get more and more and more. There isn't a point where we say, no, enough is enough. And there isn't a point where we say, no, there's a difference of responsibilities. You got a different responsibility, I got a different responsibility. All of us, both we have to, in the institution of marriage, both have different departments and both have to be truthful and faithful and honest in their departments. Then this thing will work out. We don't understand these things. No, both are equal. Both are equal, both are identical. So when both are equal, so we both need to work equally. So this is stupidity. They take me on this line of immorality. They are immoral. The culture is immoral. There is no values left in them. So that valueless system that they have, pioneered for themselves. They are pushing it onto you. And you, like an intelligent, stupid thing, you're buying the same culture from them. You're buying it out from them. Don't you realize that the value we've got is much richer? Islamic culture, value, it's a very wealthy thing, it's a very great thing. Now you're bargaining this dirt for the wealth that you got. So parents must assume responsibility in this zamana, in this age. You're married, going into marriage, assume responsibility. Don't just take, you know, it's a pastime, just look for beauty and excitement and get married. No. Look at that girl that you wanting to propose and marry to. Is she a family girl? Is she a house-living girl? Will she take responsibility of my children? And will she guard my affairs, etc.? What type of girl is this? There were cases where they got love married. In a week's time, the whole house got carted away. Love married. She came into the house. This person is a wealthy person. In 1 week's time, his whole house, whatever valuables, 200,000-300,000, this girl carted everything away, finish. So this is the end. They're not there for making a house, looking after your values, looking after your wealth, your property. They're not interested in that. What they're interested in is your possessions. All these things is secondary. They know how to do it. They know how to scheme and come to you. Eventually, this is what you get landed up with. So take someone that is responsible, knows your values, knows your systems, will make the house work, will not fight between you and your mother and your sisters and all that, will make that house work, will take your mother as her mother, will take you as her senior, and that house will work with respect and with dignity. So this is an important aspect of your life. It's an important department. So show it the type of importance that it deserves. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq.